Hey, Katie.
Hey, Tay.
Welcome to the end of the year.
Oh my God, I can't even believe we're here.
I can't believe we're here. We also just did not record last week, and I completely forgot.
2026 is going to be a better year. I mean, yeah. I should take that back. We had a fantastic year.
Yes.
You have a baby.
And it's funny because prior to me having the baby, I was always like, okay, this is the schedule. And I was just checking with you, and I was like, I can be very, whenever works for Katie with the kids. And now I'm now we have to organize both of our schedules. We almost had to cancel today's recording because baby Ace is being a fussy little guy.
He's allowed to.
No, he's totally allowed to.
It's just hard. I mean,
in the middle of the night when he's he doesn't scream often, but when he does, I will sit there and when you're just you're so fucking pissed.
Yeah.
But it's your kid and you don't want to be mean. I'll sit there and I'll be shut the fuck up. I love you. I'm so sorry, but can you please just shut the fuck up?
I will literally fucking do anything if you just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm I'm right here. You don't have to scream. I have you. I got you. I'm making your bottle right now.
Yeah.
But I'll curse at him and then I'm I'm so sorry. I love you so much. I'll give him a kiss and then I'm no, but please shut the fuck up.
Literally, there's been so many nights where I've had the bottle in Liam's house. I'm drink, motherfucker. Drink it all.
I
love you.
I was laughing because I'm in my friends were join the month due date group or whatever on Facebook. And I love joining Facebook groups. I never comment. I love just reading the posts. And some girl was mother posted about oh my, I heard my husband tell the newborn to shut the fuck up. And all the women were you need to leave that man. That's abuse, all this stuff. And I was do not come to my house at 3 a.m. when he's screaming. And I'm just I'm trying to make your bottle. Shut up.
Honestly, as long
and
as...
I know, I'm so sorry. You're so cute. I love you.
It's natural. I'm sorry.
No, if
don't do it, I don't believe you for a fucking second.
It's not every day. It's just those occasional
And what I'm what is it yelling? You putting down Leah's age, right? 2.5.
Yeah.
Kind of understanding of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
One day I was working and they were home and I literally was oh my God, can you guys just shut up? I'm working. She came upstairs to my office, was tapping on a keyboard playing and looks at everyone and goes, oh my God, everyone, shut up. I'm working. I'm fuck. Here it is. Yeah. This is what everyone talks about. It's not you're telling your 2-year-old on a daily basis to shut the fuck up or
no,
or
your newborn. Yeah. Just
just your newborn screaming and you're fucking sleep deprived.
Yeah. And then I'm no, I'm so sorry, baby. I love you. And I'm giving you kisses.
Worst fucking mother ever. Shut up, please.
Please just shut up. Anyway, that's what's been going on with me. Yeah, my husband's back at work. So now I'm
it's hard,
maybe sleeping, I can record. But if he's up, he's still a potato for the most part, but I don't think you guys want to hear him I mean, maybe you do. It's kind of cute, but anyway, we're here to discuss our year end. I don't know. This is how you know that we are just two moms trying to make it work now. I don't know what you prepared. I was oh, these are my 5-star books. And then these are the 3 books that I have a lot of beef with.
So I kind of I ended up doing not just 5-star, but books that stuck with me throughout the years or the year.
Yeah.
And then I did the ones that I did not like.
Okay. So we kind of did the same thing.
I figured we could do some rapid fire, maybe hang on
There's some books obviously I mean we could just jump right in. Obviously I assume we both have Atmosphere on here, which we've done a whole episode on. We could talk about it for another 15 hours.
Could totally do it. Same with, I'm sure, Problematic Summer Romance.
Yes. Yes.
Dare we also say Promise Me Sunshine?
Yeah. So those are, I mean, we could just check. No. So my friend Gab, she was asking me for a book recommendation. She just finished an audiobook. And I was try Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid. I'm have you done any of her other books? I'm it doesn't matter. Just start there. And then you can always, if you like it, go back. And I think she did Daisy Jones. I don't know if she did the audiobook or if she watched the show, but she was texting me. She was Teresa, I'm sick to my stomach. And she was I'm at the nail salon. I'm literally in tears. And I'm Gab, why would you listen to this at the nail salon? You knew what was going. She was it was the end. And she was please don't tell me that Vanessa dies. And I'm I don't want you to have a nervous breakdown at the nail salon.
I don't watch.
I'm like, just stop listening. I'm like, it'll be fine. Just stop listening.
It's so funny that you're doing this with Gab. My mom just finished it, and she was like, I was actually. She's like, it took me a million years to get through because, like, my mom doesn't know how to sit.
Yeah.
But this was incredible. Because she likes the history aspects, the fact yeah. that it's females in NASA in the 70s.
Yeah.
That's huge. But she was like, this was literally such an incredible book.
Yeah. And the part that sticks with me, like, it's still to this day is, and I forget their names now. So. Same. Sorry. But I think he's like the captain of the ship, and this is before they go. It's like in one of the flashbacks when they're all at the bar and his wife is talking, and for whatever reason, like, it comes up, like, she's like, oh, if one of us has to die, I hope it's me, because he was like made to be a parent. Like, he was made to be a father. He's like, he loves our daughter so much. She's like, I love our daughter, but he was like made for this. Something.
Yeah.
And then he obviously, we know that he dies in space, and I still think about that.
Yeah.
All the time.
And it hits a little different when you are a parent.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, I feel like you can observe there are some people in this world that are made to have 3+ children. I am not one of those people.
No.
There are days where I was like, I probably could have just done one and we'd be good. Not that, like, I regret one versus the other, but, like, I think we could have been okay with just one.
If yeah,
we
I'm pretty happy out. With just one. I'm not going to lie.
Fantastic. But I'm not one of those people. I very much admire those who can do multiples, but again, mm-hmm. it's a specific type of person.
Yeah.
And I feel, and then even like in like settings, again, Instagram is a highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see people in action, like, I think of our friends who have 3 kids, they were 3 under 3. And like, I watched them in action. I don't have that level of patience and understanding.
No, I mean, obviously, based on our conversation 2 minutes ago, we don't have patience.
No, I don't. I also think it's a vastly different world when you're also in like a full-time employee.
Yeah.
In a corporate world. As is like your spouse.
Yeah.
Like, you do have, there's commute, like, it's very different. But I do think, like, there, you can look at people and be like, wow, you are meant to be a parent.
Yeah. Yeah. I meant to be a parent to one baby, I think.
Girl.
I would love to, but I'm actually, like, I'm very content with one.
I just really don't recommend close in age.
Well, I mean, I couldn't be close in age for me. I can't plan. I can't plan anything. So it'll probably be a few years, if anything. But but yeah, that part just like, and that book stuck with me. And like reading it was amazing. The audio was really well. Really good. I started with the audio. I know Katie did the audio. So if you guys didn't listen to that episode and haven't read it yet, or spoiled it for yourself and listened and haven't read it yet, obviously we still recommend.
Duh. You know what I can't believe?
What?
That it's been almost a year for me for reading Project Hail Mary.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I honestly think that we're going to have a lot of like overlaps, but yes, same. I like want to re-listen to it now.
Fantastic. Kind of plays into the whole atmosphere book as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say Project Hail Mary, my favorite audiobook of the year.
That it was a dynamite.
Hands audiobook. Down, my favorite audiobook of the entire year. Very easy for me to pick like that one specifically for audiobooks. I listen to a lot of great books.
There's
best audiobook of the year. Yeah.
There's something magical in your eardrums going on with that book.
January 9th. Was the date that I finished it. So it's been almost a year. Movie's coming out in March. So like
you have time.
You have to listen to the audiobook before then. The trailer looks like it's going to be amazing, but I feel like there's no better experience than doing the book and then seeing the movie. And it's Ryan Gosling.
Exactly.
And like you'll meet Rocky and like it's best friends forever. If you like love a friendship that is like the most wholesome friendship in the universe, Project Hail Mary. You have to do it.
I put Wild Side on this. Which, like, it's funny because now I'm like, I don't really remember it. So we can, like, mix it.
I did remove something that I rated 5. And I was like, I actually don't remember this book. But no. I know I enjoyed it while I was reading it. But
I will say one book that stuck with me. And then I like laugh because I'm like, wow, the like what I went through in a year just yeah. really shines through how I started. But like romance and this and that. Yeah. And I was like, wow. Okay. A Witch's Guide to Magical Innkeeping. It's by Sangu Mandara. And I might be saying that wrong. I'm going off of just memory. So I apologize. I liked that so much more than book one. And I loved book one.
Yeah.
But it was like that perfect blend. I love a cozy witch vibe, but I can't stand when the cozy is like
corny.
Corny meets like silly stupid.
Yeah.
Meets like this isn't really going anywhere. Where the problem's not really like a problem.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I liked the whole aspect. It did have a little bit more romance and spice than I was anticipating, but it was a very good book. Rewind it back.
Well, yes, of course, rewind it back. I mean, anything Liz Tom Forte is obviously going to be 5 stars. I give every book in that series 5 stars. I know people don't love Mile High. I did, and it's just like she just gets better and better.
Fucking terrific.
Play Along is my favorite. Like, Isaiah Rhodes is one of my top book boyfriends of all time. I love that man. I am down bad for him. But like Rio, I think that we said this when we recapped it. Rio and Hallie, they feel like I didn't feel like, oh my God, like I love Rio in like a romantic sense. I was like, this is my younger brother. And like, this is like the love of his life. And it like felt like, it felt so familial to me. Like I felt like almost like I was like in the friend group, like watching one of my like best friends like finally find love. That's how I felt when I was reading it.
I'm with you.
And like, yeah, he's obviously cute, but like I fell in love with probably all the other male main characters while I was reading their books, but Rio, I was like, no, this is like baby boy, and I'm just so happy for him.
Yes. And like I will say too, I mean, I liked everything. I think my least favorite might be Mile High, but I have not reread them. So I need to redo. But I just feel like these are what I'm with you. They're 5-star reads. They're just different levels of 5 stars to me.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah, I was going to say, like, I can rank them definitely, but it's like ranking like everything that's like perfect. They're all 5 stars. So it's, you're like basically like Play Along is 6 stars. Everything else is probably 5. And then depending on my mood is how I rank them.
100%.
I couldn't pick just, well, I actually could pick one book from the series, but I'm lumping Red Rising in as one. So my favorite book in the series is book 2, and that's Golden Sun. But in general, the entire series so far, so I've only read 4 books so far, 5-star series. It's absolutely incredible. I've talked about it on here. It is sci-fi. It is obviously very different from like a romance or a fantasy romance or a witchy romance. There's a romantic subplot in it, but it's very like romance light. So take that with a grain of salt. But I do think it is just like so incredible. The world building, the character development, like
I've never heard anything bad about that series.
Yeah.
It's literally only good.
And like book 4 took me like a little bit longer to get into. I think I mentioned this on the podcast when I came back from Colorado, that it introduces new characters. So the first 3 books are all from one, like Darrow's POV. And then book 4 introduces new POVs and new characters that you haven't met before. Cause it's like expanding on the world and like this war that's continued to go on for the last 10 years. So like it took me a while to get into it. Cause I was like, why do I care about these people? But the writing is incredible. And like, I had to take a break. I was like, this is too heavy. And now that I have the baby, like I can't focus.
Yeah.
I can't give it the focus it deserves.
It's like you need to read specific books when you're feeling the way you feel.
Yeah. And everybody says that the 5th book is like very like heavy and very dark. And I'm just like, mentally, I'm not there yet. So we're taking a little hiatus, but those books in general, 5 stars for me, like very easy, hands down. Amazing. I know that we said Promise Me Sunshine by Cara Bastone, which I might. Okay, so at the end, I'll say my favorite romance books of the year. This is one of the top romance, like this might be a contender for number 1. I read it in 2024. I reread it in 2025. It like got better the second time that I read it.
Really?
I just loved it. Yeah.
I feel like I can see that happening with like certain books like that.
Cause I feel like,
If I were to do Fairy Tale again, which is on my list of 5 stars.
Of course.
Because it's such a thick book. And I know this is so not, it's not what Problematic Summer is, but I just feel like it's one of those books where like, if I reread it again, I'd probably be like, I love this even more.
Yeah.
There's just something entwined. I have to bring you downstairs because I'm going to have to keep checking this oven. So
we're going on an adventure with Katie. Honestly, it's my fault because I said, hey, I can't record today. And then my husband showed up home and I said, hey, actually, I can record today. And Katie's like, I just put dinner in. So
I shouldn't say my kids. One of my children is a very picky, particular eater. My other one just eats whatever I put in front of them. So I'm trying. I found this girl on Instagram, late night scrolls at 2 a.m. when you're at club or asleep. And they're like, I don't know, everything's catered to like a treat. So it's like a strawberry bar. So I'm trying to see if maybe she'll eat those for breakfast as like a snack or just like a snack in general.
Okay.
So we'll see. And then I have to do dinner.
I guess that's fine.
Hi, Teresa.
Are you doing your podcast right now?
Yes. Yeah. Hi, Tom.
What's up, T?
Wow. I miss that face.
Were you doing your podcast while you're running that new cook?
Yes, because this oven sucks ass, so I have to monitor it.
We're mothers. We can multitask.
It's not like anyone watches this. It's just video. I mean, it's just audio.
It's not like anybody listens to this either. I'm just
they
kidding.
Do.
No, I know. I'm kidding. I would never disparage you guys like that. Another 5-star that I think maybe you also have on your list, potentially, First Time Caller by B.K. Borison.
Yes. But see, I didn't count that one because we did that one, I think, 2 years ago?
No, Katie. It came out February 13th. Oh, I read it early.
I think that's why. I read it as an ARC.
Yeah,
so I didn't include it.
I didn't include it last year because I was like, it doesn't come out, so I have to include it this year. But it's one of my top. Like, I think B.K. Borison, I like her books, but I'm not always wowed by them.
Which
this one.
I did. What's the holiday one? In Good Spirits? It was cute, but it didn't, like, knock my socks off.
First Time Caller. It is a, like, Sleepless in Seattle-esque retelling, very loosely based on it. Radio show host, single mom, phenomenal. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Think this would be on your list. There's two that I think would be on your list. You can correct me if I'm wrong. The Thrashers.
That was the next one I was going to talk about. Yep.
And The Summer Storms.
Yes. Yep. I love this. The Thrashers, Julie Soto, paranormal.
That was terrific.
YA thriller.
That's one book I want to reread.
Yeah. 100%. I'm waiting to see if they announce like a set. There has to be a second book. The way it ends is so cliffhangery.
I know.
And I guess it can end there. And like, you just kind of have to, it's like ambiguous and you have to like decide how you think it actually, like what happens. But I think she needs to write
it. And I also feel like, I don't know about you. And again, I know I'm going to laugh at this.
Yeah.
The one scene I can see is like a film adaptation or like a TV show adaptation, like the ending. And I don't mean to spoil, so maybe skip ahead 30 seconds from this part if you have not read it yet and want to. But like in the end, when she's confronting him in jail, right? And they're talking and he's like, I never said I don't see her. And like then he like walks to go back away from the visitor section.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like left startled. Like I can like see this scene in my head.
Yeah.
It is like, I feel like if I was Julie Soto, I'd be banging on my keyboard, like evil laughing, like, yeah. Like
this is. Oh, she definitely was.
Yeah.
She definitely was. So she, it was so good. Like, and I love, like, I love that every single character, the dead girl, all of the Thrashers, including our like the female main character, all of them, no one is 100% good or 100% bad.
No.
Everybody is like morally gray. Everybody has done something fucked up. Like, but I'm still rooting for them.
No, I'm literally rooting for them. But also at the same time too, like, I mean, not saying I was a fucked up high schooler because I wasn't, but like, you're just figuring out life. I mean, granted, they did some more fucked up shit than I did at their ages.
Yes. They definitely bullied her. But she also was insane.
Correct.
Which being crazy, like, guys, this is a book. I'm not saying this about real people in real life. In the book, she maybe deserved a little bit of the bullying. She was kind of nuts, though. But she was, like, dangerous, too. Like, I don't know. Listen, it's really good. Just read it. And, yeah, These Summer Storms by Sarah McLean. amazing. Like the family dynamics, again, a story where like every character is so flawed, but you like kind of love them.
And like hidden secrets, like you're trying to uncover stuff. I also feel like too, like I'm listening to a book right now and they just said it. And of course I'm not gonna be able to regurgitate the wording, but something like sometimes things are better left like buried because like you don't always like what you're about to dig up.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think in this instance, everything needed to be dug up, but like, it's just such a shock with everything coming that you're like, yeah. Like I couldn't imagine being in her shoes being like, what? I'd be like, every second I'd be like, what the fuck?
Like, no, literally, what the fuck? And like, it's not a murder mystery like Knives Out, but it gives Knives Out energy where it's like the patriarch of the family dies. There's like crazy family dynamics. There's kind of these like hijinks on like how they're going to get their inheritances. And then there's kind of like a play at the end that there's like a game on top of a game almost, like where the dad's definitely like laughing from his grave. But it's like very like, it's like waspy New England. There's like the inheritance games. If you read those books, it kind of has like that kind of vibe. I just like love the family dynamic, and it had a romance in it too. So it like added that like little bit of zest to an already intriguing story.
I'm going to skip and do two books that I was like literally obsessed with. And I really do still need people to read. Mallory Marlowe came out with her sophomore book, Love at First Sighting. Okay. I know we did Love and Other Conspiracies on the podcast, which you did enjoy, right? Like it was a very cutesy, cryptid type of book. I really feel like she nailed book two. Okay. And it always makes my heart hurt when authors don't do, like their sophomore books tend to not do always as well. But I really wish in this instance, like it picked up more because it was, she really kind of knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Also something to note too, it is Berkeley. So I don't know. I feel like sometimes like to help, someone gives me a recommendation, I do see the publisher is Berkeley. I'm like, it's probably a really good read. Like,
yeah,
you gotta, you know, they're just of a different caliber, if you will.
Yes. Like if it's Bloom, I'm like, it could be good or bad. Berkeley, yeah. I'm like, it's normally pretty good.
It's pretty good. And then another one that I just, you need, I love when you read a book that is easy to fall into, that is, I don't want to call fantasy, but definitely more fantastical, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But it's real world also, and you just kind of dip your toes right into it's the Otherwhere Post.
Oh yeah, I've been wanting to read this ever since you talked about it.
So good. It's just one of those, like, you don't have to think, it kind of all just is laid out in front of you. You can say there's some books, like when I was deep into my dark academia, I really want to read this one book.
Yeah,
but it is so fantastical that I'm like, nah, you need to like be in that headspace, and I'm not there right now.
Yeah. I mean, we said Problematic Summer Romance already, but guys, Allie Hazelwood, somehow this is my favorite book of hers. It's because so it's age gap, hate it. Everything that I'm like that I normally don't like that she put in this, I fucking love. So like good. I went to Barnes & Noble, I picked it up in the morning. I said, I'm gonna read a chapter. Unfortunately,
24 hours.
Yeah, I'm gonna say unfortunately for my job, I could not stop reading this book. Like, I think I read it in like 5 hours. It was just so good. She's had a crazy year in general. Like, I think she's had like 3 full-length novel releases, a couple novellas. She's been very busy, and I love that for her.
I just love her. About one of her books on my other list.
I know exactly what it is, and if you guys listen to the podcast, you do too.
You will too.
Another one of my 5 stars. I'm just going to go back to back with these two. So Talking at Night by Claire Daverly. If you watched Normal People, or if you read Normal People by Sally Rooney, or if you watched this show, then you'll love Talking at Night. So it's a love story, I guess, not like a romance. It's a very like slow burn, right person, wrong time, but like over and over and over and over and over again. It's definitely like relies more on a lit ficky character driven, like whatever, more than like a romance aspect, but it is about two people who are in love and like they just cannot get their shit together. One ends up getting married, then there's a divorce, like there's tragedy that like there's just always something that is kind of keeping them apart. It takes place in Ireland. And it's just like, I don't know. I just read it and I just really, really loved it. And the ending, like, you're going to be like, if you do read it, and again, if you've read Normal People or watch a show, you know, you're going to be really frustrated. This ends a lot better than Normal People ends. Normal People ends, they're finally getting their shit together, and then they don't end up together. This is like more ambiguous. Like, I took it as they are together.
Okay.
So if you loved Normal People but you hated the ending, this one has a better ending, in my opinion. And then also The Oxford Year by Julia Whalen.
Love that book.
I love this book. If you watched the movie and you were like, this kind of sucked. Yeah. The book is so much better. I don't know what Netflix was doing casting Sophia Carson. No offense to her. She literally is so monotone, cannot act. And then they like cut out the best parts of the book and then they completely changed the ending. So in the book, spoiler alert, Jamie does not die. It's open-ended. Like, we know that he's not cured, but he is like receiving treatment and he's like doing well and they are traveling together and he'll never be cured, but right now he's doing well. At the end of the movie, he's dead.
Oh yeah.
No. And they like kind of rushed it. I don't know. I just didn't like how the movie wasn't good. But I do recommend the book. So if you want to cry.
If you want to cry.
I wouldn't, but you guys might.
No thanks. I shall pass.
Do you have any more 5 stars? Because I have one more.
I have a, I could do like some rapid fires. Like,
you don't have to do rapid fires. You can, I know that we're going to jump into things that we hate and that might.
Yeah, no, I'd rather talk about some hating stuff. Let me get my charger because my thing's dying. Noctopedia.
Okay.
5-star, The Amalfi Coast, Soul Searching. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to harp on this. Lila Sage, she turned it around for me. I'm just like,
oh, so Soul Searching was really cute.
I loved it so much. I can't think off the top of my head as I run down the stairs with my charger. Give me a second.
I'll just say mine then, the last one. My last 5-star. I think I only had like 13 5-star books this year. Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt. But like specifically the audio.
Fantastic. It made a difference.
The audio made a difference. I mean, I think everything that Tara writes, I think is phenomenal. She's like very Emily Henry on like that like level to me. Where, like, even her worst is still better than, like, somebody else's best. But the audio, like, the narrator just, like, really brought these characters to life in a way that when I read it the first time, I didn't feel that. I liked it. I gave it, like, 4 stars when I read it. And then I listened to the audio and I was like, no.
This is different.
This is hitting a lot different. Like, it was. So I recommend audio if you're going to do Left of Forever and you haven't yet.
Exorcism of Fairies. I will never shut the fuck up about that book. That was absolutely incredible. Does have a little bit of like a paranormal, slight fantastical vibe, hence the word fairies. Just heads up. But really good dark academia set in the 90s in Dublin. Alchemy of Secrets, I really recommend on audio. I thought that was kind of, if you like a Freida McFadden psychological trippiness, this one makes you think a little bit.
Okay.
So I'll compare it like that. Nightshade, it kind of has a little bit of paranormal-isk to it. Really good academia-based book with a mystery component as well. And then I went down a dark rabbit hole of all my thrillers. I'm gonna rapid fire these.
Okay.
We Are All Guilty Here. Not Quite Dead Yet. Home Before Dawn.
Sorry, I did finish Not Quite Dead Yet. I forgot that we didn't talk about it last week because we never recorded.
We never recorded, but that was
really good. Really good. The ending was not what I was expecting. Just gonna say that.
Home Before Dark, The Only One Left, Sundown Motel, and Long Time Gone. Just saying, if you want to start to dip your toes into thriller, that's not like spooky, spooky, scary thriller, but kind of has some makes you think moments, some kind of creepy twists. Those are the ones I'd go to.
Okay. Now the books that we hated.
Oh my god, I cannot wait.
The books
I have
three. The book, okay, because it's not like, oh, I mean, there's some books that I like just didn't like, but they didn't piss me off. These three books pissed me off. Okay, I went on a whole rant about this book specifically earlier in the year, I made a whole TikTok about it, about the hatred I have for these characters. And again, I understand that it can be well written. The book was well written to a certain point, and then it was complete character assassination by the author, and that is where I have a fucking problem. And that book is The Favorites by Lane Fargo. And if you loved it, I'm so happy for you. Literally, these, I have, if I meet Lane Fargo on the street, I'm going to pop her in the face. No, I'm kidding. I honestly, like, I want to, like, read one of her other books, because I did, like, love, I liked her writing. I love the female main character. I love Katarina. She's a fucking bitch. She's crazy.
I hate this book so much that it's the point where I see people put this on their 5-star list and I giggle.
Yeah, no.
Like, it just because how much she does not like this book.
I'm sorry. Why am I going to read like 70% of a book? And then I am okay. Well, I mean, I think it's fucked up, but I'm okay with Heath and what Bella cheat, like fucking each other. And he cheats on his fiance. She fucks her best friend's fiance. You know what? All that. Sure. Katarina's character, the character assassination of Katarina, where she, who did literally, I'm sorry, she did nothing wrong. What? She's a competitive female. Sorry. Sorry that she's putting a sport before her relationship. Sorry. God forbid a woman do that. God forbid a woman be a little bit of a fucking bitch every once in a while. Oh my God. Let's hang her. Oh. No, it's insane. Okay. I don't care. She could, I don't care if she was a bitch. What they did was so crazy. And then the fact that they continued a sexual relationship to the point where Bella gets pregnant with Heath's kid. Mm-hmm. And Katarina, who we know throughout this book, is a little nuts. And she's just like, I'm better now. It's okay. I don't care. I don't mind. It's whatever. Excuse me? Katarina comes back into their life. They still continue the sexual relationship. Like, even though Bella's like, oh, Heath is in love with you. Why are you having sex with him still? The betrayal of those two characters. Oh, and then yeah. Katarina being the one that has to kind of like come to terms with it and like be like okay with it because she was kind of nasty after she lost the gold medal. Like, I am so fucking sorry. And then at the end, she wins the gold, but she's sabotaged and the gold's taken away. I'm sorry. That last 20% was such fucking bad writing. Don't, like, it was honestly like, it felt like the author just like wrote this, like wrote that like last part just for like the dramatic, just for the drama effect. And like it detracted from the story. It made the character like, oh my God, it just pissed me the fuck off. I'm sorry. I bought the book. I came home. I read it. I said, fuck this book. I sold it the next day. I was going to throw it out. That I was like, I don't want to subject anybody to this, but I'm also a woman and I need money, you know? So I didn't throw it out. I did subject a random stranger to it. I hope they hated it too. And I hope they threw it out.
There you go. I didn't feel as strongly. I have a couple.
That's the one that I really have an issue with.
I'll talk about my issues mostly, but like the one that kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a cute premise was not safe for work. And I know I kind of went on a rant during one of our podcasts a while back. It just was so like it contradicted everything about the female main character. Like I thought we were going to get a female.
Oh yeah, I remember you talking about this
in the field, being passed over for promotions because of being a female, a minority woman in this field. And then she starts to play like, well, I'm not going to try anymore. I don't know. It just like everything flip-flop. I'm like, what are we trying to do here? Like, what is a story trying to be? Because it starts out like with the feminist vibe, but then flips to this girl just doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Then it turns into you shouldn't be a cheater to her kind of being the one doing some cheating. I don't know. It just was one of those books. I was like, I don't know if this knows what it wants to be.
Yeah.
But the writing was good. You could tell the author is talented, but it kind of just pissed me off.
Yeah.
I am going to skip just because I have more than you. I wasn't so much as like, I didn't hate this, but A Study in Drowning was a fantastic 5-star read in my eyes. YA has some mystery, creepy vibes. Think like doomy and gloomy coast. It had like everything that I wanted. And then the second book came out, which I didn't even think it needed a second book. And I feel like it just took the characters in reverse. Like it completely undid everything that they did in the first book. And I can't stand when series do that. Like why?
Yeah.
Why? Like I almost feel like the plot didn't even make sense. Like, there was really no need for this book. And just, like, to me, it's like a waste then. Not that it, like, negates what the first book did, but I'm kind of like, then why did we even do this? Why are we here?
Right. Like, my kid's crying. It's okay. Dad's got him. The next book, this is a book that I didn't, like, necessarily hate. Like, I don't have, like, rage towards this book, but I just, it's just, like, such lazy writing. And I blame the author and I blame the publisher because I'm sorry. Like, I understand. Listen, I'm the first person to be like, guys, it's a fucking book. It's not real. Like, I'll be like, burn this bitch at the stake. I don't actually mean that we should be doing that. But this, like, is such lazy writing to me. So it's Picture Perfect by Tessa Bailey. And the sports romance. Yeah, it's like the sports, like the seasons are completely wrong. And then it's, okay, he's a hockey player. Playoffs start in a week and he just gets the week off. He doesn't have to practice. He doesn't have to watch tape. He doesn't have to do anything. Like, it is to me, I'm sorry, like, just lazy. Like, it could have been, this could have taken place in July. So college softball's over. The hockey season's over. Like, why are we doing that? College softball starts in February. She's like, oh, I have my first game. It's the end of April. Babe.
No.
College is over in May.
Yeah.
So, like, the season's not starting 2 weeks before the end of the semester.
Yeah.
It was just, like, it just pissed me off.
It would piss me off, too.
And, like, it was so it was so insta-love. Most accessibility books are insta-love. And it doesn't bother me if it's done well. Like, this was insta-love to the point where I was like, this actually doesn't, I want to call the cops on this man. Like, this is love bombing. Like, this is like weirdo behavior. Somebody call the cops, get this girl out of here. That's how I felt.
Wild card.
Well, yes. No, we both had wild, yes.
Okay. We did not like this. This was not for us.
Wild card made me want to sell all my Elsie Silver books.
I'm not gonna lie.
Not all of them, just the Rose Hill series. I was like,
I just was so taken. I just know. And like, I will say, you and I kind of expected to maybe not like the trope. I just didn't expect what she did with it. I was going in with an open mind, even though you and I had spoken openly about our hesitations for this. I just don't think it delivered the way I wanted it to deliver. Even if maybe this wouldn't have been a 5-star read for me because of the trope, like, I can already knock off a star, right, going in.
Yeah.
Because I knew I wasn't going to like the trope. But the whole premise just really, I'm with you. No. It kind of made me rethink looking at that series on my shelf.
I know. I was like, do I need it? I need room on my shelf. I only really liked two. No. Yeah. Wild Eyes and Wild Side. Yeah. Wild Love was fine, but I wasn't a fan. Like, I was like, kind of like, whatever. And then Wild Card is like, Sebastian Rousseau is my arch nemesis. He's like, I mean, Heath Rocha is definitely my arch nemesis. I would burn that man on the street. I literally like pour gasoline on him if I ever met him. Sebastian Rousseau, I would just like, I would trip.
I hear you.
And I'd kick him when he was down, you know? But the first line of my review is, Sebastian Rousseau is my sworn enemy. An immature 40-year-old man-child who can't control his emotions. Like, I was like, I'm sorry, I cannot get behind this man.
No, I couldn't stand him.
No, I could not stand him. I could not stand his actions. I could not stand the whole, like, I want to be... I also, I'm sorry, this is my beef with Elsie Silver with this series. These are not single dad romances.
No.
Grasping for straws, calling this a single dad romance.
I wouldn't give a crap if someone wrote a series that really did have a single dad, like a true, whether it was like a step child and you're calling themselves, like, I can get on board with being a single dad as a step parent, because that does apply.
One single dad in the entire series that they're calling a single dad romance. You know that I have an issue with the first one. Like, he was a sperm donor, not her fucking father. Let's get that fucking straight. West, 100%, those are his kids. Reese, yes, he did take guardianship over this child.
Yes.
Because the mother died, but he wasn't guardian for like years coming into it. He like was guardian for like 2 weeks.
Correct.
Not a single dad. I'm sorry, not a fucking single dad. And then Sebastian is a 40-year-old man with a 20-something-year-old son that he found out about like 2 years prior. Not a single dad. You didn't raise this child.
No,
this isn't like a like no. This is a grown man who doesn't live in your home. You're not a single fucking dad.
I think I just didn't like the book. I feel like I like him. I just no. I'm with you. I'm with
I didn't like the book, and now I now heat it again, and I'm like I'm selling them all.
They're gone. Besides book two, guys.
Katie and I do disagree about this one. I just want to say ahead of the curve.
This was my, I'm just going to read my review. We don't need to harp on this again. Teresa enjoyed me. We had to do this for a podcast and I was unfortunately, it was like, I've never DNF'd a book before coming on the podcast besides one. And then of course we had to read this soon thereafter. And I was like, well, I can't DNF a second. So I'm going to fucking hate read this book. The audio is well done. So there's that. However, and I do say I'm the minority here because I do think a lot of people like this. It was fucking boring. This whole book was about the FMC having an internal monologue and consistently begs the FMC to bang her, but they cannot for reasons I will not disclose for spoiler purposes. That was the whole fucking book. This bitch was fucking horny and desperate. And that's all you heard about.
I thought,
honestly, that the premonition of her dying was the most exciting part. And when they took that back, I was upset.
They said she's just in heat.
She's just in heat. What do you mean a fucking doctor who treats werewolves don't realize what they are dealing with when she is in the doctor's office? Are we fucking kidding?
Yeah, no, it was.
Take your license and rip it because you aren't a good doctor.
Mate and Bride are my least favorite Allie Hazelwood books, I think.
Mate is shit. Shit on a stick.
I'm not an Omegaverse girl. And
I don't mind it. I just thought this was really fucking boring. She literally was in heat begging her mate to fuck her and he couldn't.
Yeah, no, he couldn't. That's
literally, if you want to know what that book is about, I just told you.
That, you know what? I asked somebody who enjoyed it. That's a perfect synopsis. Wow,
look at me giving a good synopsis.
We never give a good synopsis. That was perfect. Yeah. You perfectly done.
It's only the hate books.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, so that was 2025, which is crazy. Want to know something that's crazy? At one point, I think it was like July or August, I was like 20 books ahead of schedule.
And then
on my reading goal. And then I started like preparing for the baby, went out to like I think September through now, obviously, like I very much like, I think I'm coming in like one or two books shy of my goal of 150.
Wow. I met my goal. I think I'm trying to load it. Not by like much or anything. I think I gave myself a goal of 100 and I read 124.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I still read more than you.
You always read more than me. I will say, you'll be proud of this. I'm going to take you for a little spinnerooski.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you what I am going to read because it's taken me a while to finish this book I'm reading right now just because Liam's not sleeping. I was reading after he was sleeping, so that takes up a lot of time. But I am going to be reading the book that Gil got me, aka Teresa. Tell Me What You Did by Carter Wilson. This is my first book of the new year.
We were looking for a book for Katie for Christmas. Technically, my husband was her Secret Santa. And we were like looking, and I was just like picking up books reading the back, and like one of the employees came over and they were like, can we recommend a book? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, you want to get this book. It was so good. Like, that's never happened to me at a Barnes & Noble.
No, but like, that's so, I wish more people, this is like what's wrong, I think, sometimes in the world, especially in New Jersey, because we're all assholes. Yeah. No one wants to talk to you or talk to anybody else for fear. One, because we just don't want to.
Yeah.
But two, because I think some people are just rude.
Yeah.
But I would love it so much if someone walked up to me and they're like, no, that's the one you want.
That's the one. He was like, may I recommend? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, this is the one you want. He's like, or if that doesn't sound. And then he like said, and I was like, no. You came over here with the purpose of telling me to get this book. So I'm getting that book.
When I read the back, I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then even my mother-in-law loves thrillers. And again, they were here the other day for Tom's birthday. And my mom and my mother-in-law both read the back and they're like, okay, this sounds good. You need to let us know.
It sounds really good. So
right?
You're going to have to report back. We don't have a schedule for January.
Welcome to on the fly.
Welcome to now we're both moms. So I'm also winging it. We're both just winging it.
My life.
So maybe we'll post a schedule and then not stick to it. Maybe we'll just... It'll be a surprise every Wednesday if we post or not. And it might not even be on a Wednesday. It might be on a Friday. Who knows?
Keep you on your toes over here.
Keeping you on your toes. If we do post next week, it'll probably just be spilling the tea because we haven't done one of those in a while. And I feel like there are books that I can discuss.
Same.
And then if there are any like books that Katie and I both read, I don't know. So look at Instagram. I'm gonna get back in the Instagram game. I have a whole pile of books.
Same. And I do have some good planned ideas. And that's what I was going to start recording. I was like, you know, Katie, 2026.
Yeah, kicking off strong, starting not even on the first or second, starting next week. I'm getting through this week, and then once the weekend hits.
Yeah, same. I just need my kids to actually finally be out of the house.
Yeah, I need my husband to actually be home to. He's so clingy right now.
Okay, I saw your text that he was home. I was like, I know all too well that having someone watch your child so you can do something makes your life that much easier because then you don't have to be like listening on. I'm like, no, we're gonna do today and not tomorrow.
If he was gonna be sitting on my lap, like strapped to me, sleeping, hopefully. He was like, I'm coming home early, but he like didn't say when.
Men.
And then I said, okay, like let me know because if the baby's awake, I'll come pick you up at the train station. And then he like never texted me, and I was like, okay, sorry, Katie. And then 3:45 rolls around and I hear on the front door. I look and he's there and he's like, oh, I said I was coming home early. I'm like, yeah, you didn't say what time. Early, that could mean five.
Anything.
Yeah, like just earlier than seven is like what I assumed. Anyway, that is all we have for you today. That is our 2025 roundup. We hope that you guys had a great year. We did.
Yes, we did.
I don't know. Stay tuned for 2026. Katie Jean, you know what to do.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.